interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
From Pimlico, in soggy Baltimore, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, of course, SteveBick.com. When I say soggy, I'm not kidding. We were just strafed again last night with thunderstorms, a very kind of humidity, ominous morning in terms of more wet weather, and it doesn't feel like we're going to be able to escape this so easily, and we'll hope for the best. Friday of the 2 days, obviously Friday the more rain forecast laden, and we'll see. The re-show yesterday at Timonium. Went over there, got to see the last set. Didn't get over till 1 o'clock, but really kind of fun. And I haven't seen racing ever at Timonium, and first time over there to take in the Breeze show and the sale atmosphere. They got a tremendous. It's got to be a pretty entertaining scenario when the fair is all set up, and they're actually in the parking lot on the turn for home, and they have some of the rides that get, you know, the carnival rides, and I've seen the pictures, but when you get the whole picture, you get an appreciation for it. Things will pick up today, and the sets today, I mean, there's no way. Yesterday, the track was fast because we had a surprisingly, not just clear, but it was in the mid-90s yesterday, which I'm sure helped propel the storms. Now they're saying with a low that's come in here and going to park itself, that is going to contribute to the inclement weather. But today they'll certainly be over a sealed surface, or as best they can manage for the Breeze show. But a lot of fun, and had the chance to spend a little bit of time with Woodbury Payne, and that was great. We also sat with Aaron Yagoda. Gary Young is on hand. All the savvy sales types. And then we went over to Michael's. You know, you heard Baffert last week. Looking forward to his trip to Michael's. He'll stay in town after Preakness for the sale. And he talked about going over to Michael's. My first Michael's trip. Aaron and I and Woodbury and Ferris Allen and Bill Reitler and Jim Harris. We had a lot of fun. And when some of the veteran horsemen discovered that Aaron was cousins with Mel Gross, the late Mel Gross, that prompted a bunch of stories, and it was really, we had an extended lunch. Actually, we went from like 2 to almost 4. We had really a really pleasant afternoon, and today going to wait, of course, for the West Coast arrivals and some of the other horses that are coming in for stakes, and the Kentucky contingent, Quip and Justify and more, Lone Sailor, they're going to arrive later today. In the meantime, we had the second day of wet track gallops. The Lucas pair, Sporting Chance and Bravazo and Good Magic, who's taken up residence, and some other Chad Brown runners for the weekend. So the atmosphere begins to ratchet up for today, 5 o'clock. You can watch the draw. XBTV, watch XBTV, and go to there. Either go to the website. You can also access it through really any of the Pimlico and Maryland Jockey Club addresses, and 5 o'clock Eastern time. They'll draw for the Preakness, and in advance, by mid-afternoon, not too late in the afternoon, I expect that Georgianne Hale's racing office will have got the rest of the stakes together. Usually she puts out an overnight, Georgianne does, with the rest of the card, and then fills it in with the Preakness as soon as the field gets locked in. And the field is locked in, it seems. I don't imagine that there's a late arrival that is going to show up now, but the field of eight, as expected, that we've been talking about, seems firm. And one of the more modest sized Preaknesses, and although they're, you know, it's funny, historically you go through and there are no shortage of years, even in more modern time, recently, that the fields have been abbreviated. American Pharoah only faced 7, right? And in fact, it was on a 16th. It was on May 16th, 3 years ago, that American Pharoah, today's date. So 3 years ago today, American Pharoah, that you want to talk about a violent storm coming through before a major race. That was it. That was scary. It did not deter Espinoza and American Pharoah, though. It did, however. I've said this before. I'll never forget firing line. I was on the infield side, and I'll never forget firing line coming toward the gate with his chin tucked down into his, and his head cocked. I mean, with the rain hitting him in the face, it was obvious that it was not going to be his day. And then it got further complicated when he didn't start, kind of missed the break, and that was that. But looking through, you had 9 when Curlin and Street Sense came to the wire together in an absolute thriller. I actually watched that video. In fact, XBTV, I think, sent out a tweet with the Curlin Street Sense hard spun Preakness, one of the great ones. That was 9. You also had, I think you had 9. Just had 9 as well. No, maybe not. I guess a little further back. Yeah, there was 9 that year. So, 9 when Bernardini won, when Barbara was stricken. That was a field of 9 as well. So it's not completely unusual. Red Bullet and Fupeg in 2000. That was a field of 8 as well. So we will deal with that. Speaking of May 16th, Preaknesses, years ago today, 9 years ago today, we're absolutely going to listen to Tom Durkin's call today. Yesterday I had a couple set up and we never got to them. The day kind of flew by. But Rachel Alexandra, 2009, on this date, in an absolutely historic 85 years. It was 85 years the last time a filly had won the Preakness. And just an unforgettable, really, it put the proverbial spurs to the campaign. And it goes on, of course, to win the Haskell and the Woodward against males. And it's just something that they're still looking, by the way, for the people are still researching. It would take 3 Elias Sports Bureaus to figure out the last time a 3-year-old filly beat elder males. At that time of the year, Rachel's performance in the Woodward. But the wet track conundrum that people are dealing with, and I see a lot of people invoking the recent history of wet track derby winners. And doesn't it feel like there's a big asterisk, and a big part of that is Rachel Alexandra. People saying, well, Super Saver, Mind That Bird, Orb, and Always Dreaming, even last year. All wet track derby winners that you have to go back to Smarty Jones for your last wet track derby winner that then won the Preakness. And so there's a history of wet track. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold it. Those four horses that are being invoked for that, it's all circumstantial, isn't it? I mean, let's be frank. If Rachel Alexandra doesn't get purchased by Jess Jackson, she doesn't run in the Preakness, and Mind That Bird wins. Mind That Bird performed really admirably and was even, you know, still trying to get to Rachel in the late stages. Wasn't going to, but if she doesn't run, he wins the Preakness. So, okay, cross Mind That Bird off. That's an unusual circumstance. Orb. Reality ends up being really that Orb, it was a major beneficiary of a collapsing Derby pace as much as anything. So I'm not holding the wet track performance from the Derby into the Preakness against Orb. Then you got the two Pletcher horses, who, let's face it, that was fun yesterday with Todd. There's a unique pleasure in making Todd Pletcher laugh, and got that in a couple of times yesterday. Which you probably, if you're listening from the replay, you probably just heard. By the way, the confirmation coming from, it was pretty obvious to anybody that listened that Pletcher was waiting to officially talk to Vinny Viola about Army Mule, but if you couldn't tell from Todd Pletcher's response yesterday that Army Mule wasn't making them at Mile, that was pretty evident from the way he responded. He didn't want to say anything, obviously, until he talked to Viola, but then not even hours later, Mike Welch officially circulating the word that no Army Mule in the Met, but that was pretty clear from Todd. The two Pletcher horses that are part of that wet track derby statistic being trotted around, let's be honest, Todd wouldn't have run those horses in the Preakness unless they were the Derby winner. He's got no interest in running a horseback out of the Derby in 2 weeks unless they win the Derby. It's just not it's not his thing. So I can't. I'm not going to be drawn into the. It doesn't say that Justify isn't going to get beat on Saturday. That's why they put him in the gate. But the wet track portion of this, and trotting out those four Derby winners that won on a wet track. I'm sorry, because one would have won, and one. You know, one on the square. I mean, the Orb and Oxbow year, that wasn't. Horses are still debating whether it's the Derby, Preakness, and Belmont. Horses, there's certain standards and certain realities that don't disappear just because horses are running in Triple Crown races. And when a horse like Orb that needed pace, when they go 23-4, 48-3, 113 in the Preakness, Oxbow on the lead. when they go that fast, a horse like Orb isn't going to get. He's not getting the pace that he needs to run into. So Orb, a victim of you know, pace dynamics. Mind That Bird would have won, and the two Pletchers, who, if Todd could have figured out a way to not have to run the Derby winner in the Preakness, they wouldn't have run. So I don't buy into that. I don't buy into it at all. Some other notable years ago on this date, May 16th, Preaknesses. I'll give you the rundown. Real Quiet in 98. So one of your Triple Crown attempts historically. came through on this date in 1998. Pine Bluff and Prairie Bayou, back-to-back wins in the Preakness for Loblolly Stable. John Ed Anthony. That came in 1992. Pine Bluff with McCarran, and then the next year, Mike Smith. He caught Cherokee Run late. We were gonna play that yesterday, and we didn't get to it. But Pine Bluff the year before over Alley Deed and Casual Eyes and Dance Floor and Lily T, who also he didn't get the pace. Interestingly, Lily T didn't go off favorite either. He was the second choice. It was Pine Bluff that was the 7-2 favorite that year. Ali Sheba won on this date in 87. Pleasant Colony in 1981. Georgie Velasquez for Johnny Campo, of course. The Virginia Bred and the Virginia Equine Alliance. A few Virginia certified horses in the sale, including a really nice horse by Bandbox that Woodbury Payne put together and developed. Personality for going back to 1970 for Mrs. Jacobs. How about that? With Eddie Belmonte. Northern Dancer, and we're going to hear the call of Northern Dancer's win, and we're going to talk a little Northern Dancer with Sid when he joins us at 10 o'clock. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. Northern Dancer in 64 would have his Triple Crown bid quashed. And in fact, I watched that Belmont. I wanted to see, I hadn't seen it in ages. Quadrangle. Might have been twice the size of Northern Dancer. Royal Orbit won in 59 on this date with Bill Harmatz. Polynesian in 45. And then you got before the war, the Preakness was all over the place. They moved it all over the joint. Bold Venture in 36. Broomspun in 1921, and Commander Ross with an obscure horse I want to look up later. Damrosch, who I know absolutely nothing about. Usually most of these Triple Crown winners, you know their names. You know, you know bits and pieces. All the only thing I recognized was Commander Ross, who, of course, also campaigned Sir Barton. Let's take a break. We're live at Pimlico. Pete Fornatel got stuck. He couldn't fly yesterday. He'll join us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The 144th Kentucky Derby is in the books, and now it's off to Baltimore for the second leg of the Triple Crown. Will Justify dominate again as a short-priced favorite, or will a long shot up in the apple cart? See what the experts have to say in ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Guide. That's right, the guide is free to everyone and available online at ExpressBet.com. Inside the guide, you'll find expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Don't plunk down your hard-earned bread until you've read what these guys have to say. Also, ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Guide provides you with important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Preakness Wager Guide. And while you're there, open a new ExpressBet account and check out our sensational new account offers, including a $500 welcome bonus. Visit the website for complete details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by five.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale at Timonium. Now he's a grade one winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Carter. He flew home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Fasig Tipton two-year-olds in training sale May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine Unlock and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porchbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porchbills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 3-8-4-6-4-3.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you grow up, live like a good boy ought to. And your mama takes a shot of purple sun. Something different.
For Pete Fornatal, we're delayed. He was getting Pete was on his way to California yesterday to set up for the contest at Santa Anita on Saturday and the filming of the continued efforts on the pilot television endeavor. And I get a text, I'm delayed 4 hours and I'm going to be late. Then later in the evening, oh, canceled. I'm not traveling till Thursday. Pete, I'm sorry. That nothing worse than that misadventure.
It happens. You know, it happens. It was the death by it was the worst, where it was a 7 hour delay, half an hour at a time, and then canceled. That was the psychologically difficult element of it, but. Silver linings, as always. Got to hang out with Perrin this morning and take her to school and get another couple of days with her. I'm not going to, as it turns out, because I'm doing this show tonight with Mike Watchmaker and Andy Beyer about the Preakness, I can't fly out today. The timing just didn't work. So I'll just head out Thursday morning instead, get a couple extra days in Brooklyn. I was looking forward to talking to you, watching the sunrise over at Los Angeles, but instead I'm watching, you know, a bunch of delivery trucks in Brooklyn. So it's almost the same thing.
Well, obviously things will ultimately commence once you're there, and give everybody, Pete, the latest and anticipating, you know, what's going to go on Saturday. As I know Hammer told us on Friday, he was plotting to make sure that the card on Saturday was going to be fruitful for everybody so they could multiply.
Fantastic. He's the best. Another great guy to talk about rock and roll with anytime you have the opportunity, of course, too. But yes, yeah, Saturday, it's a traditional, more or less of a traditional live bank event. Interest very high, couple of wrinkles, even for Saturday. Of course, all the prize money, which won't be awarded till Sunday, but that's all added. Meaning it's essentially an opportunity to play in a takeout-free environment if you look at the whole economic ecosystem. The other big thing that kicks right in on Friday with this World Horse Player Tour Santa Anita event is that it's one entry per person. So trying something new there and going to have rebuys like a poker tournament. If you do get that first entry down to zero, you'll have the opportunity to buy a second one. There'll be a premium attached to that. And that extra money, the $6,000 to buy your second entry, that extra $1,000 will go right to the prize pool. Nothing being taken out of that either. But then the real interesting bit is going to be on Sunday when we have this first ever live bankroll final table. The bankrolls at the end of Saturday, you know, if you're in that top eight, you get to keep the money on your bankroll. And we essentially transfer that money into chips that you will use at our final table. Simplified format for the final table, the idea being we really want to make sure this works on television, trying to bring new eyeballs and new fans and get people following and interested in racing, the greatest gambling game there is. So the simplified format is just going to be one horse to win for each of those eight players at the final table. They'll play the full card at Santa Anita on Sunday. The minimum bets will escalate throughout the day. Once again, just like blinds in a poker tournament, you'll start off having to bet 1,000. That number will increase by 500 throughout the card. The last player standing wins, and you can also, as in poker, go all in at any time. So I really think it's creative and fun format that's going to reward players who are aggressive and willing to risk it all on horses they like. And I feel like that's a great test of one's horse playing, especially when you have to survive the traditional live bankroll event of Saturday just to get there. It's going to be a lot of fun, and television aspect coming along nicely. Been spending some time working on some of the set pieces that are going to be part of the show. And I think horse players will appreciate them, and I think that it will help expose the game to a whole new audience. That's the idea anyway, and I just can't wait. Hope to see a lot of people who listen to At the Races out there. Please come up and say hi. Going to be at Santa Anita probably Thursday through Sunday at this point, and always love to meet people who are listeners to your show, Steve, or listeners to the podcast, or who read my stuff about the whole tournament world in the pages of Daily Racing Form or over at drf.com.
Well, and speaking of which, and some of the participants, you had the feeders all, you know, come to a head, and over the past weekend, and there was obviously other action leading toward, you know, other assignments mid-season here, and you know, some big, you know, obviously Triple Crown events that coincide between now and Belmont. Who else? Some names that advanced and are going to be a part of things on Saturday.
Well, we had a great weekend of qualifying. The qualifying for this event has been happening exclusively at DRF tournaments, and we had four players win their way in: Donald Marquardt, Sean Nolan. Sean is a, I don't know how many time qualifier to the NHC, but I think at least a dozen. Brett Wiener, whose contention has run deep before on the NHC Tour and is a tournament stalwart. He won his way in. I'm pretty sure he won his entry during the Outplay JK contest we did Friday night, and then parlayed it into his seat in the big money qualifier on Sunday. My favorite story, though, Steve, is David Nichols. We talked on here a while back about this handle contest that we were doing, where the player who handled the most money in World Horse Player Tour qualifying events would, if they hadn't already qualified, would receive a berth into that same big money qualifier on Sunday, which was 1,090 to play. One in five won their $5,000 bankroll. Well, David saved his best for last. He won his way into that big money qualifier through the handle contest and then managed to win his seat as well. I'm going to be writing about him today up on DRF.com. Pretty cool story. And as for the field and the way it's taking shape, we've got folks coming in from all over the country. Some players your listeners will be familiar with include Kevin Cox, Brooklyn Cowboy, going to be making his way out there. Christian Helmers, who, of course, has had a lot of success in live bankroll events. Garrett Skiba, who owns the most six-figure caches in handicapping tournament history. He'll be making his way in from Chicago. Frank McGoey, off the recent success, the third-place finish in the Kentucky Derby betting challenge. But I can take the rest of the show just naming some of the interesting characters who are going to be there. Really looking forward to it. Oh, Pete Dressens is one more I'll give a shout-out to because he's no doubt listening. Very much looking forward to seeing him. And I think his act will play well on TV. What do you think?
Yes, he's the straight out of Central Casting.
So he's going to have going to have a lot of fun out there and appreciate your support in having us talk about it over these coming weeks. I think that's part of the reason why the excitement has built to the pitch that it's at now. I haven't been to Santa in a little while, but JK was out there last weekend and said that the vibes were very good. A lot of people asking the right questions. Leo, we should give Leo a shout-out, too. One of the people he spoke with, Leo Vukmanovic, who's looking forward to participating, representing the real home team, the Eddie Logan Suite, out in the contest. It's going to be fun, and there's going to be a lot of social media coverage during the tournament. Won't be as good as if you were there, Steve, but understandably, you know, got some other obligations going on, it being Preakness on Saturday. But we will be covering it at Looms Boldly. I'll send out some links. The at Horse Player Tour Twitter handle, another way you can follow. We might be doing some little video hits and just trying to bring folks in, open the curtain a little bit, and letting the hardcore horse players see how this is going to be unfolding. And, you know, hopefully all goes well with this pilot, and we'll have a full slate of events come next year, and we'll see a lot more at the races, listeners, and open this tent a little bit wider.
Well, looking forward to keeping an eye on things out there and the way it plays out, and going to wish you and everybody involved good luck. Meanwhile, Pete, in terms of this weekend, we've got obviously just a handful of horses that are going to contend here for Preakness and go up against Justify and Good Magic. I don't want to make it sound like it's the Derby winner versus the world. That's obviously a part of the storyline. Some thoughts about this, and it seems inevitable that we're going to be dealing with a less than fast track.
I can't wait to see the race. I mean, just from a sporting point of view, it's so great that Good Magic is showing up to reoppose. I mean, just on normal handicapping, and I'm sure the odds will reflect this, you'd have to think that Justify should get preference. But then you start to look a little bit more and you think about how many races Justify's had in a short period of time and how taxing that effort was. And you look at Good Magic as a horse who was pretty clearly brought along slowly this year and could be, just compared to himself, continuing to improve. Chad Brown doesn't have a lot of experience with horses coming back on these short layoffs, but when you look at the times that he's done it somewhat successfully. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I was digging around on Formulator yesterday, and it didn't give pause. I mean, it feels to me like Good Magic is going to be able to really bring the race to him, and it's going to be really exciting to see what happens. Now, from a betting point of view, yes, they could easily go and run 1-2 around there, but maybe my idea would be, given the unusual circumstances, Justify having so many races in such a short period of time, and Good Magic obviously coming back so quick. Like I said, the numbers are good, but it just doesn't feel like a Chad Brown move. Maybe there's an opportunity you can get one of them not to run and build sort of parallel construction verticals. I haven't fully handicapped the race yet, but one horse I'm a little bit interested in, if he indeed decides to enter, and I could have missed news on this with my travel woes yesterday, but Lone Sailor is a horse I was taking a look at to maybe just get up there in the number and maybe be able to get a piece or run, I don't think he could win, but run second to one of those two big horses. I thought he had some subtle but meaningful trouble in the Derby. Obviously has that great off-track form from the maiden win at Saratoga, and maybe didn't fully get to show his form with how he got sort of trapped on the turn and then stopped again, I thought, in the Derby. That was my only idea going in, was to betting theory-wise, was to have one of them show up. I can't see anybody but one of the big two winning, but maybe you can get something interesting to happen for second.
There's – glad you went in that direction, too, because there's plenty of speculation. I had this conversation with Johnny on Monday and then Tuesday with – yesterday with Jeremy Plonk, and – this also applies, Pete, for you, and you can riff on this in the same manner. And that is, particularly for those that are playing in the cash tournaments, and we've gotten very used to this, the bankroll application, in some cases, contests that have you know, a final race minimum, and you, you know, you've addressed that. This is a circumstance where we go from 20 horse field to a field of eight, and obviously the multi-race wagers can come into play. But in terms of standalone individual race betting, we've been riffing on the, you know, the rifle versus shotgun approach and giving players confidence in themselves to pull the trigger on much bigger increments, and, you know, playing a $10 tri wheel, and they may, you know, they're not going to necessarily spend as much as they did in the Derby, but, you know, instead of smaller increment, you know, 50 cent and so forth, dollar super and that kind of thing, going ahead and heavying up, it takes a certain mentality. And I think a lot of players, they may have a good opinion, let's say with a, you know, a 16 to 1, 18 to 1 lone sailor, but they're not necessarily confident enough to play a $20 straight try, justify lone sailor and, you know, two horses underneath.
Yeah, I love that approach. And it doesn't really have to cost you any more money if you do it with, if you really rely on your handicapping and you grind on those other contenders and try to get it, just play fewer combinations. If you can really tighten up, even a bet like the Superfecta comes into play. You know, Mike Maloney talks about that in Betting with an Edge. It's one of my favorite betting concepts that I wasn't even aware of before I sat down with Mike to write Betting with an Edge. But he calls it the default Superfecta, where you can just find a race where you can just be super confident in your handicapping is going to come down to, say, four horses, and then it's just a question of picking the order more or less and just laying into those combinations. And it's a good way to do the thing that so many players love to do, which is risk a little, try to win a lot. And I think it's something that's underutilized in the vertical pools. I think a lot of people, and, you know, I've done this myself, it's so tempting, especially when you have more of a long shot horse that you want to keep, to spread around it. But to me, in a situation like this, where you've got these two horses where, you know, I feel like you can just be, heck, if you wanted to really narrow down, just pick one of them and go stone cold on the top. And then you can really narrow down your combination and have an opportunity to play at much higher increment without taking any more risk. Or you could use a blended approach as well, where you have some combinations with your long shot and some other long shots where you're just having 50 cents. But if you're going to have those tickets with Justify or Good Magic on top, you're going to want to have those for $5 or $10, like you were saying. It's vertical strategy is something that I feel like is underwritten about and underappreciated in a lot of the racing literature. And folks interested should definitely, you know, don't listen to what I have to say. All I learned was from Maloney and working on Betting with an Edge. But that book goes into a lot of these type of strategies in great detail. And it can be very helpful, especially on these big days when we know the horses so well. And you have that opportunity, I think, to grind. And a lot of it comes down to just eliminating non-contenders and laying into the ones you like.
There's no doubt that the structural portion is, you know, is easy enough. The part that to me I think weighs heavily is the, you know, the reaching into the pocket and spending on the individual bet. When you're used to, you know, betting whatever you bet on a race, and this can apply to any sized bankroll manager, when you quadruple or, you know, bet on a single race 5, 8, 10 times more than you've ever bet on, typically it's a mental adjustment. It's all in your head. It's not anything else that should hold you back.
I think that's right. And you want to take a holistic approach to your wagering. There's a couple of different ways of doing that. One way is, based on what your overall bankroll is, you can earn the right, by having success at lower increments, to step up and bet those higher increments. The other thing I think is worth thinking about is, you think of what your budget is for the day. And if you're used to, I mean, I would say this almost definitively. Theoretically, it would depend on what racing card you were looking at. But, you know, just to simplify the example, rather than betting $10 on 10 races throughout the day, pick the race you like best and bet $100. And so your amounts are going up, but you're really, your overall risk isn't. And, you know, if that's boring or whatever and you want to have some really small action bets, that's fine. But, I mean, really, and I'm not saying I'm disciplined enough to do this, but I'm not. The better move still would be to just watch those other races and try to learn what you can from them, or play in a contest at DRF tournaments so you have a little bit of action on each of those races. But when it comes to the betting, the principal amount on your bankroll, you know, use that in a way where you're giving yourself the best chance to win and make a little bit of a score as opposed to just totally grinding through the day. There's ways of upping your limit and getting comfortable with betting more. Contests are great for that too. Now, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that like in a hazardous way. If you're not used to a contest with a $5,000 bankroll, you know, just by dint of playing in one, you're not going to feel comfortable. But if you can start off in live bankroll events, like many of the contests at Monmouth or Delaware, the ones they used to have, where it's a NYRA, the perfect example too, $400, $500 bankroll event, and sort of build up along the way, the more you play in those environments, knowing in many cases you're getting the best of it because of the way the contests are structured, makes it a little bit easier to fire. And then hopefully when you see that opportunity in real life, you'll have the confidence to do the same thing.
Good advice. And Pete, before we go, favorite Preakness experience and or race?
I've only been a couple of times, and unfortunately, there's a reason I've only been a couple of times. I've been unlucky. Oh, I thought of one. I thought of a good one. When Frank Scatoni and I did the book Six Secrets of Successful Bettors, we did book events all around the country with DRF back in the, you know, those heady days when books had like travel budgets and things. And I had a great day watching the unbelievable Afleet Alex Preakness, where it went from, you know, horror to wonder in the span of 15 seconds there in the stretch. And to be able to watch that in the confines of the turf club up there, that was super exciting and fun. And I still think one of the coolest races I've ever seen. I was in danger of telling you about the power going out in the infield, and I didn't want to bury our friends at Pimlico with that story. So we'll go with the Fleet Alex instead.
There have certainly been some misadventures over the years here. Nobody will deny. But you know, given the facilities, age, and uniqueness, it's usually a great time here. And that's a good one. I've told the story, too. We were doing the barbecue that year and went up to the fence, actually, behind the stands, right at the top of the stretch.
Wow.
And it happened right in front of me. It was unbelievable. It just
folks should check that replay
incredible.
Out. No. And I do have friends, I also, just to further the point, I do have friends who go every year and have an amazing time. I just, you know, you choose your battles in racing. I mean, you don't. You dance every dance. But most of us, we have to choose which of these great events we go to. And it's one that I haven't done in a while but would love to do again. And I should also, Steve, just get in a quick DRF tournament plug, just because we have so much online action, whether folks are just following all the stuff going on in Baltimore with the guaranteed pools happening there, or they're playing out at Santa Anita in the World Horse Player Tour Preakness event. We've got opportunities to win into Del Mar, a Belmont contest as well on Saturday, also a qualifier for the World Championship of Handicapping. And we've got some special round one contests today and tomorrow and Friday to win into Del Mar. You put up $114 and 1 in 5. Will advance to that Saturday event. Also, some free contests on DRF tournaments today and tomorrow. It's always fun when I see names that I know through my association with you and at the races, and hopefully we'll have a chance to write about some more listeners in the near future.
Outstanding. Well, Pete, get there, make it rain, and break a leg on the TV side, and can't wait. Can't wait to see how it goes and get the feedback and the storylines as they unfold.
Thank you, my friend. We will be talking soon.
Pete Fornatel looms boldly, everybody, and looming boldly next. When we come back, we're at a facility where Edgar Prado absolutely started his Hall of Fame career. And he's going to join us next. Yesterday, win number 7,000 for Edgar. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The 144th Kentucky Derby is in the books, and now it's off to Baltimore for the second leg of the Triple Crown. Will Justify dominate again as a short-priced favorite, or will a long shot up in the apple cart? See what the experts have to say in ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Guide. That's right, the guide is free to everyone and available online at ExpressBet.com. Inside the guide, you'll find expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Don't plunk down your hard-earned bread until you've read what these guys have to say. Also, ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Guide provides you with important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Preakness Wager Guide. And while you're there, open a new ExpressBet account and check out our sensational new account offers, including a $500 welcome bonus. Visit the website for complete details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back at the races, coming to you from Pimlico, and at this racetrack and at Laurel, Edgar Prado, a significant portion of his career as he was ascending the ranks of North American race riders on his way to the Hall of Fame. And yesterday at Philadelphia, mid-card, win number 7,000, which puts Edgar in just as elite company, was already an elite company, but joining Russell Bays and Lafitte Pinkay and The Shoe, Pat Day, David Gall, Chris McCarron, and Angel Cordero of winners of 7,000 races. Edgar, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's very honored to be in that kind of group of such a talented rider in the country.
No doubt. And Edgar, you know, you obviously have slowed down. You're 50, going to be 51, I think. And, you know, you're riding selectively. And you feel good, though, right? Your health is strong.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely feel good. And I don't think I'm selected to ride. You know, I want to ride as much as I can to stay sharp and good sharp and stay in good shape, too. And be in the moment, you know. The more you ride, I think the better for you to stay in the game. And people will see you then, how the team's going with you.
Reflect a little bit on reaching a number like this and on your career. And, you know, you talked yesterday, I know, with Jim Dunleavy, and you talked about, you know, some of the people that, you know, that helped you along the way.
Yeah, first of all, you know, I want to thank God for keeping me healthy all this year. I did have my share of injuries, but nothing very serious that kept me out for a long time. So I'm very thankful for that. God has been blessing me with great career. He's been blessing me with a great gift to know and feel the horse, you know. I think along my career, I met such great people. At the same time, I met bad people, but I learned from that to just continue to work hard and move forward. No, and the most important, my family was all away with me because I never home. I was most of the time at work or riding somewhere else. And my wife, she did an excellent job to raise my kids and give the education that they need. You know, and the most important is that we are horses. We won't be here in this business. So horses was my passion, you know, and they give me everything that I have. And all the success that I have is because of the horses.
Hmm. Well, currently looking forward, thinking about the weekend here, Edgar, and you're going to be in Baltimore tomorrow. You got a couple of mounts on the nice Thursday card. But then on Friday, the recent success with Jose Corrales and Andy Stronach, something awesome. And, of course, a very nice payday from Charlestown with him. Comes in and a major player in the Pimlico Special on Friday.
Yes, I've been having success with Stronach before. I win a couple of races, big races. Milwaukee Brew win the Santa Anita Handicap many years ago.
Oh, yeah.
For Bobby Franco. And a few horses, a macho, mucho macho, I think was the horse name. I win a lot of races for the Stronach. I was very thankful for that great opportunity. And me and Corrales, we get along great, you know. We're trying to be on the same page. And we got lucky that we got this horse, and since we're talking of the synthetic, it seems like it help a lot of horse to transform it in another level, you know, to go to another level. And we'll see if he continues to improve. Friday is going to be a Madden 315 and carry 124 pounds, you know, given the rest of the horses about 6 pounds difference. But we'll see, you know, if the horse is keep improving, he will be right there.
That's a good group, obviously, between Something Awesome, and we got the presence of Irish War Cry, and I suppose the prospect of a wet track as well to deal with. In addition to the Pimlico Special, John Salzman's got you on the nice filly Limited View, who was so good at two, Edgar, and she kind of been waiting for her to move forward.
She's a very nice filly. She tries real hard, you know. But the only problem is that she's her own enemy. She gets so nervous in the paddock. She gets so nervous in the gate. But hopefully Friday she can overcome all that, because Pimlico is no easy saddle area, you know, no easy paddock to be. And we hope that the filly handle everything well. She's a nice filly. We'll see if we can regroup back again and trying to be in the same form that she was last year.
What's notable about her is how well you've gotten along with her, actually. I mean, you broke her maiden. You weren't on her when she came to Saratoga, but then you got back aboard in the fall. The Maryland Million Lassie win, the Juvenile Filly win at Laurel with her. Didn't succeed in the gin talking, but then you came back. You won the Marshua. She's coming out of the Pre-Minetta, and it's very notable that you get along with her well.
Yeah, I've been lucky, you know, that I've been working with her in the mornings and trying to don't fight her, let her do her thing. And it seems like it worked fine. Even when I ride, you know, if she breaks in top, just let her do her own thing. If she breaks in the back, I trap and wait. And it seems like she wanted to be in charge of the things that happened during the race. And so far, it's been working good, so I don't want to change anything, no? I just want to be a happy passenger.
There you go. Well, you're also, it just so happens, yesterday I was at Timonium for the sale and the Breeze show, and we ended up with Ferris Allen, and you got a mount from him early in the card on Friday, Rumor Ridge, too.
Yeah, yeah. Me and Ferris, we come a long way. We broke a record in Colonia Downs a few years ago, and we've been successful together. So I think he's been a great supporter of my career, and I'm very thankful for that. So how the track is going to be, and we play from there, you know, and they're calling for rain, so we'll see what happens.
Well, certainly, Edgar, 7,000 wins, a tremendous achievement, and obviously you'll press on and continue to rack up the number. No reason to quit, especially when we look around and see, you know, the success of so many riders, you know, into their 50s. We talk about Mike Smith and Gary Stevens and, you know, guys you've been riding against, you know, for all this time. And it's certainly, I think it's kind of nice the way you've, you know, come back to the Mid-Atlantic and, you know, applying the trade down here, that, you know, where you really made your name.
Yes. And yes, I mean, like I said before, I've been real blessed. I stay out of injuries, you know. I've had my share of injuries, but no very severe that keep me out for a long time. So I think that's a plus. I've been blessed, and hopefully continue this way until the day I retire.
Well, and we wish you, as always, continued good health and success, and we'll see you here tomorrow and through the weekend. Obviously, you'll have some calls for the Saturday card as well, Preakness Day. Edgar Prado, 7,000 wins. Best of
Thank
luck.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
There you go, Edgar. And just an achievement that, yes, it's a testimony to longevity, but and good health. You know, Edgar had that ankle that he broke. That ankle that took a while to come back from. But as he says, he feels good. He's healthy. And when you see him win in a race like the Charlestown Classic, you know, around the bull ring, it just shows you. And of course, Graham Motion continues to call on him for assignments down here. And, reminded, you know, it's funny, our friend Nick Hahn mentioning with the invoking of Colonial, and with racing returning to Colonial next year, and Edgar's success down there, including with Kitten's Joy, won three straight Virginia Derbies, and that'll be a place too that Edgar, you know, gets back to riding, back to Colonial. It's a pretty amazing list. He was riding for Phil Aristone yesterday for that win. And Dunleavy made a note, too, that there's two riders that are behind Edgar, approaching 7,000. The ageless wonder, Perry Utes, is just unbelievable. And Perry is 87 wins away from 7,000 himself. And Mario Pino, who's going to be back at Delaware Park a couple of weeks when the meet starts. May 30th, they open it at Del Park, the little track that could. He's got 68.59, so he's 141 away, is Pino. And he's another guy that was a Maryland native and got his start. So, Edgar Prado, congratulations. Glad we had a chance to catch up with him. And speaking of Maryland natives, Alan Foreman is going to join us after Sid Fernando. We'll take the top of the hour break here. Alan, the ubiquitous Alan Foreman, who's got so many different hats, but as part of the THA and the Mid-Atlantic Thoroughbred Championship Series, which is one of the sponsors of the Triple Crown coverage, the match series returns, and it starts Friday with the Ski Pat. And Alan will discuss how it all came about. It had been on hiatus, basically, for 15-plus years. But it was very popular, 1997 to 2001. And it got a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of players in the Mid-Atlantic region to cooperate with each other. That's never an easy task. And we'll talk to Alan. We're also going to use the opportunity to talk to Alan about a few other topics. No shortage of expertise when it comes to his involvement in the game, and I want him to address the sports betting issue. You may have seen I tweeted a link to a story in the Daily Herald, the suburban newspaper in Chicagoland, and the state legislators that they talk to about the sports betting, they're not going to rush into it. They want to do it right, quote unquote, is how they responded. But the casinos and racetracks appear to be the focus of Illinois' concept going toward their legislation, and that could really come in just in the nick of time to help Illinois, because you know, we've discussed it enough. Things are not great, say the least. So we'll keep an eye on that one. Right now, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, presented by Hill & Dale. Sid Fernando joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The 144th Kentucky Derby is in the books, and now it's off to Baltimore for the second leg of the Triple Crown. Will Justify dominate again as a short-priced favorite, or will a long shot up in the apple cart? See what the experts have to say in ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Guide. That's right, the guide is free to everyone and available online at ExpressBet.com. Inside the guide, you'll find expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Don't plunk down your hard-earned bread until you've read what these guys have to say. Also, ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Guide provides you with important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Preakness Wager Guide. And while you're there, open a new ExpressBet account and check out our sensational new account offers, including a $500 welcome bonus. Visit the website for complete details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
He's got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by five.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale at Timonium. Now he's a grade one winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Carter. He flew home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Fasig Tipton two-year-olds in training sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.